The College Experience AAC American Athletic Conference College Basketball Preview on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by MyBookie.ag. The MyBookie Turkey Day free play is back this Thanksgiving. That's right, up to a $250 free bet on the Texans Lions game exclusively at MyBookie.ag, promo code SGP. We're also brought to you by Thrive Fantasy. Thrive Fantasy is a new daily fantasy sports app built specifically for player props. Download the app in the App Store and use the promo code SGP for an instant deposit match up to $50. That's thrivefantasy.com, promo code SGP. Sign up and prop up today. We're also brought to you by Ace Per Head. Ace is the leader in paperhead providers, and they make it super easy for you to start your own sports book. Plus, Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free over at aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP. Welcome to the College Experience American Athletic Conference, the AAC College Basketball Preview. My name is Colby Swingin' Dantabase Dan, aka Pick Dundee. That's not a pick. This is a pick. And we're picking AAC. You know we're taking East Carolina to win the national championship. When I say we, though, I am joined by my co-host, college basketball, DFS god for college football and college basketball. Give it up for the rooftop IPA drinking, homebrew making, Tobacco Road living, the free lock given, former Herndon Basketball League MVP. Give it up for NC Nick in the place to be.
What's up, man? What's going on? How are we doing today?
We're talking American Athletic Conference. You know I'm doing good, man.
AAC, hell yeah.
Now, I mean, what? They won one national championship with Kevin Ollie and UConn, but UConn's gone now. They said, no more AAC. You're kicking our ass in football too much. And our basketball team fits in the Big East, which I actually kind of agree with. But,
you know, as much as we like the AAC, UConn is Big East. They never fit well there on the basketball court. You know, they belong in the Big East. I'm glad they parted ways and went back home.
They still won a natty in the AAC, which is crazy when you think about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the AAC is a nice conference, especially the top tier, you know, the top half, they got some really good basketball schools. So definitely, you know, nothing to sleep on here. This is a good basketball conference. You'll see when we dive in team by team.
I'm still hurting. You know, obviously I'm hurting from no March Madness last year. That's going to be something. Even when I'm 70 years old, I'm gonna be like, remember that year in 2020, we didn't get that March Madness. But man, a couple of years ago, Houston played Michigan. The year Michigan went to the national championship and lost to, was it Villanova?
Yeah, I think so, right? That sounds correct.
I'm in Vegas with SGP guys, Real Money Kramer and Sean Green, and I have a money line play on Houston to beat Michigan. And they, I think they were a heavy dog, man. I think they were like a 9 or 10 point dog. And I took it on the money line. And Houston is up by 3 with, it was either 2. I think, no, they're up by 2 with like 10 seconds left. Well, I think actually probably under a minute. They went to the free throw line twice. 88% free throw shooter goes 0-for-4. Michigan makes a 3 at the buzzer for, you remember that shot, like a little bit past half court.
Yeah.
Makes that dagger. Dude, that was a brutal. I still like wake up in the middle of the night sometimes and think about, man, 88% free throw shooter. How are you missing those free throws, man? How are you missing those free throws?
That was a tough one. They could have done a lot that year. That was a tough pill to swallow.
Oh man, that was tough. But so you look at this year, and we'll go back and forth. If you haven't really had a chance to preview all the episodes that we've done, they're all out there, guys. If you're wondering, hey, if you're a first time listener, We are the College Experience. We handicap every single Division I college football and college basketball game. We've been doing that for three and a half plus years, picking every game. We release a spreadsheet over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. So make sure you go there and check it out. We never charge for our picks. They're all free. We're over 500 picking every season. Me, NC Nick, Patty C. And we also are way over 500 on our locks for each season. So plenty of reason for you to tune into this thing. But also, if you're a college basketball fan of the other conferences, we at the College Experience, we cover them all. We don't discriminate. We cover every single conference in college football and college basketball Division I. So make sure you check out all those other episodes.
Except the Ivy League, because they're pussies.
We even did a podcast, though. I would encourage the fans to listen to that. Yeah, exactly. I get your reference now.
Possibly your greatest conference preview ever.
Our buddy Kyle texted me that, too. But when you look at the AAC, the way we do this thing, if you're a first time listeners, we just go back and forth on our projected orders. And we'll start off with NC Nick here. Who is your top team in the AAC? I think we probably have the same team.
I'd be shocked if anybody doesn't have Houston as number one.
Correct.
Dude, Kelvin Sampson is doing big things down there. He's got that program at a very nice place.
The best it's been since Drexler and Olajuwon, right?
Yeah. I mean, without question, you know, they were a little young last year, and yeah, I mean, they still had a good team last year, but it wasn't quite as good as some of those teams that you mentioned that went on in the tournament and really had chances to go far. I think this year they have a chance to be a top 10 team in the country and have a chance to really go deep in March.
Yeah. And it's crazy to see, like, I'm looking at one publication telling me Caleb Mills is on the bench. I'm like, damn. I mean, I watched a lot of Houston basketball. He's a baller. He's on the bench. He's coming off the bench. That's maybe the best six man in all of college basketball.
Yeah. I mean, call him Microwave Johnson if that's the case, but with Mills, Grimes and Giroux, that three guard lineup is just freaking dynamite.
Don't
you know,
forget about Marcus Sasser, the son of Jason Sasser. You might remember him in the '90s at Texas Tech.
That's just making me feel old. If his son is in college right now.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy.
Man, they have hands down the best backcourt in this conference and maybe one of the best in the country. So watch out for Houston.
Even the Cameron Tyson, Idaho transfer. I mean, I know Idaho plays in the Big Sky and they're a bad team in the Big Sky, but the dude put 14 points a game up. So even like having a guy like that they're not expecting 14 points from him at Houston. They're expecting a guy to come in and make a bucket or two. And I think he'll be able to do that. So him, I mean, I know they're waiting on a waiver for the Arkansas guy, Reggie Chaney, the transfer, but I mean, just Mills, Grimes, Sasser, Drew. I mean, I think this team's going to roll. I think they're going to win this conference by a couple games. Actually, a lot of people think it's going to be close. I don't think so.
Well, I think it was a three-way tie last year, and I think Houston is going to run away with it this year. I totally agree. Those other schools have lost too much. I mean, Houston really, they lose two guys, you know, and one of the guys is still on the roster, but he tore his ACL, so he won't play this year. This is going to be a perimeter-oriented team. Their big men are really just there to rebound and protect the rim. But like I mentioned, man, Kelvin Sampson has his program in a really good place. I expect Houston to give that they're going to be right there when you talk about potentially a three seed, maybe a four seed, if not better. And I'm saying, watch out come March, because I think this team, they're experienced. Three redshirt seniors are projected to start along with a junior and a sophomore. They have top 10 in the country potential easily.
It's funny because someone on Twitter was asking me, who is this year's Dayton? And they said, so they were asking me essentially like, well, I was like, what do you mean? Like the best team in college basketball maybe? And he's like, no, the mid major that like can come out and play for the national championship or win the national championship. And I was like, well, obviously the first play is going to be Gonzaga. I think that we all assume, even though they're
but
in my head, I mean, it's funny. I kind of blanked on Houston. And I just fired back, you know, I think that Richmond could be a team that maybe could get to a Final Four. I mean, with all the right bounces or, you know, it's really hard to project that. No one had, I had Loyola in like the Loyola Chicago. Sure. I think I had them in the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight, but I didn't have them in the Final Four. I didn't have George Mason in the Final Four. So I might have had Wichita one of those years, but Houston is one that I can't believe I blanked on, because I think I would not be surprised that this team went to the Final Four.
Yeah, if he's talking about a mid-major, like to come from somewhat obscurity, then Houston would fit the bill. Gonzaga doesn't fit the bill because they're, you know,
I mean, national power now. Yeah,
yeah, everybody expects them to do well and you know, and be right there pretty much every year. So if I was to think of one mid-major, I mean, I don't think there'd be any other or as good of a chance other than Houston. Yeah. I think Houston is the possible Dayton this year.
Definitely. I think you got like maybe Missouri, like maybe you can make a case Loyola or Northern Iowa could win a couple games in the tournament. Maybe I thought I'm kind of bullish on BYU this year. I think they can get into the tournament and then maybe, but you need a perfect, I'm probably not going to take BYU to go past, you know, the first round or two. So I think Houston is one where you actually think into your head, like, yeah, they could definitely win three or four rounds. So, how about number two? Are we on the same opinion on number two? I wonder.
Well, I think there's a top tier, and that top tier has two schools, but after Houston, you know, you could make an argument for a couple of teams, but I'm going to go with Penny Hardaway and his Memphis Tigers.
We agree so far. I thought he got a raw deal, by the way, Penny Hardaway, because apparently, he, you know, his defense from them not having James Wiseman last year was that he didn't know he was going to be the coach of Memphis. So he gave him money, but that was prior because he lives in Memphis and has known that family for a long time. Right. He gave them money, but he was not the Memphis head coach at the time. So he didn't.
I mean, that's a valid point.
Yeah. He's like, oh yeah, I did that. But I mean, how the fuck was I supposed to know that I was going to be the head coach of Memphis?
Right.
So,
and with all the, you know, possible recruiting violations going on at Arizona, at LSU,
Kansas,
you know, Kansas, NC State, it's like, really?
Yeah.
You know, he paid to help them move
Auburn. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, what did he pay, like a grand or so for, you know, some moving company to pack up their having company? Really? You know, that's what you're going to nail them for. So, you know, that kind of was a whole fiasco around the program last year. And James Wiseman only played three games. And, you know, I think losing him and just like, you know, that whole cloud that kind of, you know, got the train off its tracks. But you know, so obviously Wiseman's gone, as is Precious Achiuwa, and a couple reserves, but man, Penny Hardaway he's hitting that recruiting trail. He must be helping a lot of good basketball players' families move, because he brings in another five-star in a 6'10" center, Musa Cissy, and he gets a key transfer from Virginia Tech. And that is Landers Nolly, who averaged 15 a game as a true freshman last year. If you watch this dude play, he can straight up put the ball in the basket. He's a scorer. He can hit the three. He's got a mid-range game. He's like an old school scorer that can just get buckets.
Well, did you get a chance to watch a lot of Memphis last year? Cause I tell you, Lester Quinones can ball.
Yeah. He's a dude with really short shorts, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He can ball. I didn't mean to cut you off though. Continue on with Landers Nolly.
He's got nice legs too. I kid. No, Landers Nolly, in his first ever game in college, he put up 30 on Clemson. You know, if that gives you, you know, a little insight to how good of a scorer this guy is, you know, he's going to fit in there really nicely. Yeah. Quinones is a very good player. And then DJ Jeffries, a very solid guard forward also. So with those three guys, you have a really nice nucleus. Then add in that true freshman. This team looks dangerous. Well, you know, it's a good mix of experience, youth, and talent.
You know what I find interesting that maybe we're underestimating here is that they're much more taller than Houston. So like if they play, it's almost going to be a little bit of contrast of styles. This Memphis team, I think, will definitely be able to be out more physical than them. So
certainly. Yeah. Those are matchups to watch. Do they play round robin? Do you know?
I believe so. I think so. Yes.
With only 11 schools, you would think so.
Yeah.
So yeah, those will be very interesting games to watch, because one is definitely perimeter oriented and one is interior oriented. So it'll be very interesting to see the contrast.
All right. And then at the three spot. So man, so far we're hitting on all cylinders here. I wonder who you got at the three spot, my friend.
here's where things could get a little bit different, I think. Because I think from here on, from three through maybe, well, hell, I mean, really throughout the rest of the conference, you can have different people. I think Houston and Memphis is on a clear first tier. And then things can get a little bit jumbled. But I have SMU mostly because of what they return. Who do you have at three?
I got SMU. I heard Tim Jankovic speak the other day saying this is by far the best team he's ever had at SMU, which, I mean, I know that's not saying a lot, but he has gotten them to the tournament a couple times. Or maybe that was Larry Brown. Maybe that was Larry Brown that got him to the tournament when they beat UCLA. I'm not sure. I'd have to do the homework there, but he says this team is by far the best that he's had. And if you look at it, I see why. I mean, you're bringing in the Oklahoma State transfer and you're an A, and that guy 8.1 points a game, four or five boards, two blocks. And then you look at the other four average double digits. So Kendrick Davis at the one, Darius McNeil, the Cal transfer at the two, Tyson Jolly, who we know can just light it up for SMU. And then Ferron Hunt at the four spot. And this is another team that's kind of got some height. Even on the bench, I think they have a decent depth here. You know, sometimes you get some of these teams, you only see three or four players that played, or two or three players that played the year before. This team's got a lot of experienced players that played for them last year. So give me the Mustangs at the three spot.
Yeah, definitely. You know, all five upperclassmen will start. You know, they only lose one starter from last year in Isaiah Mike, you know, and you throw in those transfers you mentioned, and this team looks really intriguing. I mean, they can go eight or nine deep easily. You mentioned, you know, the starting lineup, you got a 6'10 guy, a 6'8 guy. Then on the reserves, you got a 6'10 and a 6'9 guy.
Yeah, so they got some height.
They can match up with Memphis. Those games could be interesting as well. SMU kind of flying under the radar, but I think they could have a really nice year. Last year they went 9-9 and finished seventh in the conference. I think they jump up big time here.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Okay, so we're 3-for-3 hitting here. But before we get to the fourth team in the AAC preview, I want to tell you that the College Experience at American Athletic Conference preview is brought to you by mybookie.ag. Thanksgiving is about tradition, like turducken and mashed potatoes, and betting on football with MyBookie's Turkey Day Free Play. MyBookie's third annual Turkey Day Free Play returns Thanksgiving Thursday. It's your chance to bet up to $250 risk-free on the early Thanksgiving game between the Texans and the Lions. The Turkey Day Free Play is a no-risk, all-gravy wager on the full game spread. Pick the right team and you win. And if your team is upset, you lose, your bet up to $250 is refunded before the next afternoon game. New players will get their first deposit matched halfway all the way up to $1,000 to help add even more excitement to the greatest football weekend of the year. Yeah, that's right. Make your first deposit and get extra cash that you can use on parlays, teasers, and props all weekend long. Use that promo code SGP in order to claim your bonus and your free bet. And the best part is that's only the beginning. MyBookie has promotions all holiday weekend long. Turkey Day Free Play is Thursday Thanksgiving, right? That rolls into Black Friday boosted odds and finishes the holiday strong with buy one, get one free. Cyber Monday Night Football. That's why at MyBookie they call football season winning season. Check it out now. No risk, all gravy, baby, right? Don't forget to use the promo code SGP to claim your freebies only at mybookie.ag. All right. We are talking AAC basketball. Those first three teams are good. I think the first three are going to get into the tournament. Now,
agreed. Now, and that might be where it ends.
I don't know. I think it's going to be close on that fourth, because this is one where, you know, we talked about this year how the mid majors are going to really struggle for strength of schedule. I don't know that the AAC falls in that. They're kind of like the Atlantic 10, where I almost feel like they're above the mid majors. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, if you have two or three schools in the top 25, that boosts the overall, you know, schedule ranking of every team in the conference. You know, it's not just, you know, like the Big West, where usually it was the West Coast Conference, where usually it was just Gonzaga in the top 25. Yeah. You know, if you have a couple schools in there, that's going to boost everybody.
Yeah. So who's your number four? If we have I wonder if we're going to have the same. I think we are.
We might share this, but I don't know, because I'm going to go a little bit different. I'm going to go the Bearcats of Cincinnati.
We see eye to eye.
Ah, are you serious?
We see eye to eye so far. I am on the Cincinnati Bearcats. I think towards the end of the year, this team was playing much better basketball, much more competitive basketball. And I actually like John Brannon as a coach. I know some people like, I think it was, who was it? Kenyon Martin, I think, blasted the hire. I think he did a good job at Northern Kentucky. And I thought towards the end of the first year, I thought I saw the program try to turn for the better. And in my opinion, they lost a lot of close games last year too. But
look, I mean, first off, you know, no offense to Kenyon Martin, but how close is he to the program, or how close is he to other potential hires?
Yeah.
Just because you didn't win the press conference, just because it wasn't a big splash hire, doesn't mean it's the right guy. It's not the right guy for the right job.
Yeah.
You know, Cincinnati's never had, they don't just go out and hire big name coaches. Yeah. Nobody knows who Bobby Huggins was before Cincinnati. Nobody knows who, the dude that went to Mick Cronin, who went to, UCLA.
Yeah.
You know, so no offense to Kenyon Martin, but hey man, give the dude a chance.
Well, I remember hearing this story that when the Redskins hired Joe Gibbs, his image didn't really fit the traditional football coach image at the time. So I heard that, you know, it was kind of a laughing thing at first. I didn't know that until recently, but I wonder if that's the same, perhaps the same type of thing here. Look at Joe Gibbs ended up winning 3 Super Bowls, but there's other examples of that too. I know that when Dabo Swinney was hired, they wanted Bud Foster. They wanted Rich Rodriguez. They go with Dabo Swinney and look at Clemson now. You know what I mean?
Dude, I mean, Rich Rod is who he is. And I'm a big Bud Foster fan, but those guys would have flamed out at Clemson. They would not be coaching there right now.
Yeah.
And Dabo Swinney has them as, you know, them in Alabama as year in, year out, and Ohio State probably as the best, you know. So, you know, like I said, most people on the perimeter, on the outside, they don't know what goes into a coaching hire. Now, I will say sometimes you can pinpoint when the guy's not the right guy.
Yeah.
But that's usually if you know that guy. Yeah. If you're getting a coach from the mid-major ranks, you don't really know who he is.
Yeah.
So give him a chance. Just because he doesn't have a big name doesn't mean he's not the right guy.
Yeah, and I think as the season went along, I thought the team got a lot better. So you look at this year's team now, they did lose a decent amount of players there. The Cumberland brothers are gone. Trey Scott, Chris McNeil, Sorolla, all gone. But Keith Williams back, Chris Vaught back. That's talk about another team that's big, Nick. It's interesting because Houston's playing small ball. Meanwhile, Memphis and SMU have some height, and Cincinnati's a team that bangs. You know what I mean? So Chris Vaught, 7-1, and they're starting a 6'10" and 7'1" guy, the projected, but they also have they also have a key contributor on that bench, 6'9", you know, 6'8", the freshman Tari Eason. So this is a tall team. And, but anyway, back to my projected starting five, they get the Michigan transfer, David DeJulius, 7 points a game, but Keith Williams, Chris Vaught are big ones. And then they have a grad transfer from Colgate coming in that I'd prefer that you pronounce his name.
Rapolis Ivanaskus. Wow. That was bad.
Yeah.
Ivanaskus.
I know her. Anyway,
Ivanka. You mentioned a lot of good stuff here, but they also have the top recruiting class in the conference coming in. So if this new coach can recruit like that, the future in Cincinnati will be just fine. You know, this year they take a little bit of a dip. Usually Cincinnati's used to be in, you know, 1, 2, or 3 in the conference. We only have them at 4 because they are very young and they lost a lot, but I definitely like the, you know, trajectory of this program. I think they're doing well here. I do think they missed out on the tournament this year, but don't fret too much because brighter days are ahead.
I think they're going to be a bubble team. I think it depends on them. You know, you go through the schedule, there's a couple 50-50 games where if they can win, maybe not even 50-50, if they could pull an upset over Houston, they're going to have their opportunities here. I mean, obviously every team in the country has their opportunities, but I'm saying, I think even with them losing, say they get swept by Memphis and Houston, they still might have enough to be on that bubble to maybe get in. It depends. At a conference wise, they got to look good too. So
You might be right. We'll see.
All right. At number six, who do you have?
Number five.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Number five. Jesus. Yeah.
All right. So maybe just on history alone, I put Wichita State here.
We are seeing eye to eye, man. I'm a skeptic, you know, though. I almost put them at six.
No, I definitely contemplated, you know, bumping them down further. Not a whole lot of teams can go through the off season that Wichita State just had. You know, first you had a whole boatload of guys transferring, and then obviously Greg Marshall steps down. You know, by the way, I think he got paid $7 million to step down.
Yeah, hell of a dude. You think Sean and Ryan will let me do that from the college experience, guys? I want to step down. Yeah. Can you give me $7 million?
Go punch Sean, choke out Ryan, and then get $7 million to walk away. Yeah, that sounds like a pretty good deal.
Oh man, what
a crazy world we're living in. But yeah, so I mean, they lose a bunch of guys. They lose their top three guys from a year ago. Now I do like ETN and Dennis. I think they're solid returning players on the perimeter. And the Gilbert transfer from UConn is intriguing, but you really worry about the front court and the complete and utter lack of depth on this team. I mean, there's only six guys on the roster who have played a college game, and the people coming in, these new recruits, they're not like four or five star guys. They can't just walk onto a college campus and start playing, you know, significant minutes right away. They need time. So this is definitely a rebuilding year for Wichita. I too considered, you know, dropping them even further, but it just seems like the Shockers always find a way to win some games.
Yeah, I agree. I put them there. I mean, I can't believe that they lost. I mean, they had some studs from last year too that I thought they were in good hands, but everyone transferred out, but still have a decent team and they'll have their opportunities. They're fighting COVID, as we mentioned on their DFS pod. So hopefully they don't get too many games canceled, because they're going to need some out of conference wins if they want to flirt with the NCAA tournament. Right. At number six, who do you have then?
All right, here's our first difference. I'm going to call it right away. I don't think you got. Well, I don't know. They're kind of your boys. They're your second favorite team in the conference. I'm not putting ECU up this high. Don't worry about it. I'm putting UCF, Central Florida.
We see eye to eye. What the hell is going on, man? What the hell is going on? Johnny Dawkins, man, doing a good job at UCF. I actually think, I originally put them at five, and then I thought, man, I could just see Wichita's pedigree getting them in over the top, but yeah. I think they're going to battle Wichita for that five spot.
Well, if you look at UCF, I mean, they lose two starters, but their two top scorers in Colin Smith and Darren Green are back. And then you toss in some of these transfers from Louisville, Oregon, VCU, and this team gets pretty interesting pretty quickly. So I don't think they're back to where they were 2 years ago, where they almost beat Duke in the tournament. But I think they're definitely better than last year. Last year they went 7-11 in conference and finished eighth. I think they definitely improve on that. I like the team this year. I think they move up to sixth, and they're probably playing in the NIT.
Yeah, I agree. And they also have Manute Bol's cousin, apparently, right? Or a son, or what is that? Nephew?
How many Bols are there? There's quite a few of them.
Yeah, we got Bol Bol, who I believe is his son. So I think this would be his cousin. And that is Moses Bol 7-1 coming in. Gotta love it. But yeah, I have UCF there. And I actually think, like I said, there's potential. I'm still mad that Dawkins' son came out early, because they were going to be loaded the next year. Didn't even get drafted.
Yeah. Bad choice. You know, he's probably playing in Paraguay or, you know, in Bulgaria or something right now, you know. And hey, if you want to go, you know, make a few $100,000 playing basketball in Europe, that sounds like a pretty good deal to me.
Yeah.
I'll do that right now if anybody would accept me. But maybe he should have stayed with his dad for one more year and make another run in March, you know, but I don't know. What are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly. But you look at this team. I think obviously Darren Green back and Colin Smith's huge. CJ Walker coming in from Oregon. Darius Perry from Louisville and Sean Mobley from VCU. I think this team's going to be pretty solid. And I wouldn't be surprised if they finished ahead of Wichita or even Cincinnati, but I still think Cincinnati at the four, maybe UCF at the five, but I'm going to put them at six. So who do you got at seven? If we're seeing eye to eye here, we're going to have a problem. All right.
All right. Here's where there's difference, because I'm taking South Florida.
I'm on South Florida too. What the fuck is going on, dude?
This might be a new record. We've done what, maybe 10 of these, conference previews, and we've not gone through this many schools without having, especially, I mean, yeah, this isn't, we're not taking the chalk here either. We're taking some schools, you know, but
I'm a big fan of Brian Gregory as a head coach. I think he's really got this program. I mean, look, this program was awful when he took him over. And look, I know I'm still projecting them, you know, not to be in the NCAA tournament, but he's got them competitive and playing really good defense. They've been one of my favorite handicapping teams over the past 2 years with the way they play defense. But the way you play, I burped there. The way that they play defense, I think they're just a tough team night in, night out to go against. And David Collins, their shooting guard, and Justin Brown, their other guard, they're back. And then you get Alexis Yetna, who 12.3 points a game, and that's a pretty good front court. Even Michael Durr, 7 foot big man, can 7 points, 6 boards essentially. And then Xavier Castaneda at the point, he's the big question mark for me. Can he take care of the rock? Can he up his game a little bit now that he's the man at point after the losses of Radu and Merkovic or whatever. Also got a Mississippi State transfer and a Texas Tech transfer coming in on the bench to add some depth, but they got some experience on, you know, Dawson the third, who played some time, and same with Rashawn Williams. So I like this roster. I think it's better than some of the other ones that people project above.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. They definitely have more experience than some other schools above them in the projected standings. I mean, you mentioned, I mean, I think you hit on the highlights here. They only lose one significant player from last year in Rideau, and they get Yetna back. So if anything, that's kind of a wash. So, you know, Collins, Brown, and Yetna, that's a pretty nice trio. And then you toss in a couple of those transfers for some extra depth, and I think USF can improve on their record and you know, standing. Last year they went 7-11, tied for eighth. I don't have a big jump up, but I do have them at seventh here this year. And like you said, this is a team that can cover a lot of games from a gambling perspective. Monitor the Bulls from South Florida. I'm not saying they're going to win all these games, but they could be a covering machine, because they kind of fly under the radar as far as, you know, the college basketball national landscape. So when they play some of the better teams in conference here, due to their defense, the games are relatively low scoring, and usually they cover a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right, if we see eye to eye after this one, I'm going to go crazy. But before I get there, I want to tell you guys that the College Experience AAC American Athletic Conference preview is brought to you by Thrive Fantasy. Come prop up on Thrive Fantasy this season. Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports app for player props. With Thrive, you can eliminate the countless hours of research and focus on only the top tier athletes that have the biggest impact on the game. If NFL, you choose 10 of the available 20 player props to build your lineup. If PGA, MLB, or esports, choose 5 of the available 10 player props to build your lineup. Each prop is assigned a fantasy value to both hit the over and the under based on how likely it is. Hit the most props, rack up the most points to win a share of the prize pool. Thrive has over $50,000 in guaranteed prizes weekly, is awarded over $1.6 million in cash prizes. So use the promo code SGP when you sign up today, and you'll receive an instant match up to $50 on your first deposit with the 4x rollover. Download Thrive Fantasy on the app or Google Play Store, or by visiting their website, www.thrivefantasy.com. Sign up and prop up today. Don't forget that promo code SGP. All right. Okay. If you got this one lined up, man.
I'm assuming we have seven
right now.
Yeah, and you know, and that's because we both dropped a school who some, you know, publications have higher. After the eighth school, there's probably a teardrop. You know, not a tattoo on your eye, but a different kind of drop in tears. You know, so I think I'm assuming we have the same pick here. Number 8, Tulsa.
Yep, the Golden Hurricane. We're 8-for-8 right now. Frank Hayes.
Yeah.
Okay, he loses a ton from last year. And what's crazy is they were going to make the tournament last year.
Yeah. They were having a nice year. They tied for first.
Yeah.
They went 13-5 in conference, 21-10 overall.
They had some crazy games too, man. Much like their football team this past Thursday. The Golden Hurricane, though, they lose a ton, and Brandon Rochelle is the top guy back, 12.1 points a game at the they start four guards. This is what I mean, though, Nick. This is a really short team. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to be playing in a conference that so far, I mean, UCF was pretty tall too. So maybe you match up good against Houston, or maybe who was the other school we said there? I don't know, but they're going to take some hits, I think. They're starting four guards. I mean, look at Memphis's height compared to them. It's tough. But
yeah, and to build on that, I mean, even, you know, their big man, their projected starter at big man is a transfer from Illinois State, Ray Adowu, who's only 6'9", and you know, he only averaged 4.4 points at Illinois State. So who knows if he's actually going to start, but if he doesn't, if you're looking at the bench, I mean, they do have a 7-footer, but this dude has played very sparingly. I mean, only averaged up 1.7 points a game as a senior. So I don't expect him, he's a bench warmer. He's almost a walk-on kind of, I don't expect him to finally, you know, figure out how to play basketball as a senior in college. And, you know, I mentioned the depth or lack thereof. I mean, this bench here, there is no bench. So you have a small team, and you have no bench. Now they do have five upperclassmen starting, but after that, it's tough to, you know, find a whole lot here to like. You know, of those five starters, two of them are transfers. I mentioned the guy from Illinois State, and then there's Curtis Haywood coming over from Georgia Tech. He didn't do a whole lot in the ACC either. So you're not quite sure what you're getting with those two guys. And more importantly for me, I'm just not a Frank Haith fan. You know, I think
he was on that yacht with, who was it? Nevin Shapiro.
Yeah. Wow. I hadn't heard that name in a while, but usually, you know, wherever Frank Haith goes, you know, trouble and scandals follow. And he seems to always stay a step or two, you know, in front of the executioner somehow.
Got to respect that a little bit. Got to respect that a little bit. He's like, you know, I'm going to take Missouri job.
Yeah. Well played. And then he leaves Missouri for Tulsa. It's like, why'd you do that? Like, oh, you know.
Yeah. And then the hammer gets dropped on Missouri.
I guess you got to respect his game, but I don't respect him as a coach. I don't know him personally, but I probably don't respect him as a man. So therefore, I'm dropping Tulsa.
Yeah. I got them at the 8 spot too. At the 9 spot, I think we're going to have the same team, dude.
Who's your 9th?
I'm going to go, and I think it's a big year for, probably next year is going to be the huge year for him, but Aaron McKee, former Temple player, played under John Chaney. Are we different?
We have a difference.
Yes. Finally. It took the Owls. Look, I understand they don't return much, Jake Forrester, but I still think this team was kind of a weird team last year. They would get up some games and then they would not. Now I know they lose a ton, but he brings in some decent freshmen. I don't know. I just kind of trust that Temple is just not going to be dog shit. You know what I mean? So I'm going to put them there. And really, I mean, you look at who they return. It's really Devondre Perry and Jake Forrester is their only real. Now I will say this, they were waiting on some waivers, Sage Tolbert from Southeast Missouri and Khalif Battle from Butler. If they can get them to play, they will really strengthen that bench. Maybe one of them even starts for them. So, also a Wisconsin transfer, Ty Strickland, going to be there too at the point. So I have the Owls at number 9.
It pains me to say it, but I have Temple last in the American. I love the Temple basketball program, and college basketball is better when Temple is good. You know, they have such a rich history, and you just always appreciated how they played basketball because they never got the top recruits. They're always just one of those tough Northeastern schools who you never wanted to play. But that definitely wasn't the case last year. I mean, last year, 6-12 in conference, 14-17 overall. They finished 10th. And, you know, they weren't a good team last year, but they lose the top three scorers from that team. You know, their leading returner only averages 7 a game. Now they have a few transfers coming in and a boatload of freshmen, but I don't think those guys are ready for big roles. So I don't, looking at their roster, I don't see how things get any better in Philly for Temple. If anything, it's going to be another long year and maybe a worse finish. Maybe instead of winning six games in conference, maybe it's closer to three or four. I have them last, actually.
So you're going with my Pirates then?
I am going with your Pirates, actually.
See, I don't want to jinx it. Stud in Jaden Gardner.
I mean, if jinxing is fiction, projecting them to finish ninth in the conference. Hey, for them, that'd be a nice finish. Cause we know ECU, Greenville is not an easy place to win basketball games. They were brought into this conference due to what they were doing on the football field. I emphasize what they were doing on the football field.
It took a Duke guy to ruin that, and Scotty Montgomery.
and the JMU coach that's there now is, still a lot of question marks.
I think he's going to be fine. I still think he's the answer. My lock against Temple worked out. So I'm locking him this week too, getting 13 against SMU. So,
look, but this team doesn't lose anybody really. I mean, the question is, all the players they bring back, are they any good?
Well, Jaden Gardner's good. We know that.
Yeah. Right. And that's probably about it, but they start three upperclassmen. They got decent depth. I think moving them from their 11th place finish last year to ninth is probably more of an indication on the other schools and what they lost, more so than ECU getting better. But somebody has to finish, somebody has to win a few more games than the other schools. And ECU won five last year. I think with that kind of experience, with that, type of a player on the team to lead them, I think they can win a couple more and, squeeze out a ninth place finish.
They were one of the youngest teams in the nation last year. And Joe Dooley came over from Florida Gulf Coast, second stint at ECU. Hey, I do like that aspect. This is his best team he's had, and they're still young. I mean, you look at this. I see three seniors on the whole roster, and only one starting. So this year doesn't even count. So I think over the next couple of years, East Carolina might win the national championship. How do you feel about that?
Oh, sure, no problem, man. I think you should place a future bet right now.
Doing it, buddy. But I agree. I don't agree. I mean, look, I'm hoping you're right and I'm wrong, but cause I'm taking Temple at that nine spot. I actually took East Carolina at the 10 spot, and it's tough because I was kind of going back and forth between East Carolina and Tulane. But, before I get to, talking about the Green Wave, I want to tell the college, tell the people out there that the College Experience is brought to you by Ace Per Head. Ever thought about starting your own sports book, but don't know how? Well, guess what? Ace Per Head is here to help you start your own sports book. They'll provide you with an all-inclusive professional betting site with all the lines updated to the second and wagers graded immediately. They have top-notch customer support going 24/7 and some of the sharpest lines in the industry. Plus, Ace Per Head offers live betting and an amazing mobile experience. Get started today, and Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free. Just go to aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP. All right. Now this is the deal here. Tulane is my last ranked team, and I think they're Nick's second to last.
And, correct.
Last year was year one for Ron Hunter, and there was a huge difference in play from Tulane with Mike Dunleavy to Tulane with Ron Hunter. You really saw it. Like, even though they struggled, they were much more competitive to me, which makes me think I'll be honest. I filled this out and I was like, man, they could be better than Tulsa. You know what I mean? Like, they were in some games last year, man. And I think Ron Hunter, I actually think he's a good coach. We saw him all those years at Georgia State. Remember, he was in the chair. He had like a torn ACL. He was coaching from like a fucking office chair in the tournament when they upset Baylor, and he fell over the chair when his son hit that three. But what do you think of this Green Wave team?
Yeah, I think he's making baby steps with the program, which is why I don't have them dead last. in every conference we do, there's at least one school who is like the transfer heavy school of that year. And, in the American, it's definitely Tulane. They lose a bunch of guys, but they got transfers coming in from Southern Miss, from Alabama, from Nebraska, maybe another from Vanderbilt. Yeah, usually I'm not a big fan of bringing in all these people from all these places and trying to get them, you know, to come together as one team in one year. And that's obviously why I have Tulane second to last. But I think they definitely have more talent than Temple. And you mentioned Ron Hunter. I am a big fan of his. I think he will improve this program. And he's right at this point, he's much more proven than Aaron McKee, which is why I have Tulane over Temple for, that, you know, the last two spots here in the American.
That is a fair point. And I will, but to me, it was just such a huge difference. I know, like, taking Mike Dunleavy's squad, I mean, I was fading Tulane a lot 2 years ago. And last year, he comes right in, and I felt like it were always a tough, when we bet against them, it was always a tough play. I was like, damn it, man, Tulane is hanging around. You know what I mean? Like, so
I think I locked them up a few times. I think Tulane did pretty well for me last year.
Yeah. Yeah. So Green Wave would be there. I have them last, but I don't know that I agree with that. I mean,
to me like you're taking Temple based on history alone.
I still think they got a little edge to them. I still think there's a little bit of edge to the Owls. And I think that's going to matter coming up to Philly. It's going to be cold. So give me time. I'm going to stick to another bottle of bourbon for the Temple Tulane bet.
We got to start tracking this. Okay. So who finishes with more conference wins, Temple or Tulane?
It's Owls, baby.
All right, let's do it, man.
There we go. I love this thing.
Can you jot these side bets down? Cause we're going to lose track. I think we already have.
Worst comes to worst, I just go to Costco and get you like one of those gigantic bottles of not Evan Williams, but Woodford Reserve. Just a couple of those.
There you go. That works.
All right, guys, this is the College Experience AAC preview. If you're a first time listener, we handicap every single Division I college football and college basketball game. Check out our other previews that we did for every other conference. But yeah, we handicap all those games. Been doing it for 3.5 years. Over 500 every single season on football and basketball. So make sure you check us out. We put our locks out there too. We give our picks away for free on a spreadsheet at sportsgamblingpodcast.com, locks included. So we're just giving you free money essentially. If you could get over to iTunes, look, we don't charge for picks. We won't charge for picks, but I would love to charge you to get over to iTunes and charge you for being a kind human being. Charge your kindness, because I want you to go over to iTunes, give us a 5-star review, say some nice things about us, because oftentimes sponsors look at the comments. They want to see fans engaged with the podcast, and this, you know, they want to think that the podcast is hip and cool, which it certainly is when I'm behind the microphone. But yeah, please, if you can do that, we'd appreciate it. And if you do that, take a screenshot and tag me at the Colby D on Twitter. And I will enter you in a raffle to win a College Experience t-shirt, but it's not your normal raffle. You are guaranteed to win. Just give me a week or two and you'll get your shirt. All right. Do that at the Colby D on Twitter. NC Nick is on Twitter at NC_NICK. He writes a ton of great content over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. He also does a DFS podcast, college football and college basketball. Come play DFS college football and college basketball with us. It's a lot of fun. We also give away lineups to win you money. So you want to check that out. Patty C, other co-host here. He's on Twitter at Patty C831. Give him a follow and tell him what a knucklehead he is on Twitter. And yeah, we're part of the Sports Gambling Podcast. They're on Twitter at DSGP Network. Give them a follow. And any last words on the American Conference, NC Nick?
All I got to say is that by the time most people listen to this, we're probably only one day away from college basketball starting. Hell yeah, let's do this.
Yes, yes, yes. This is the College Experience, American Athletic style. You better start thinking about yours. And we out.